Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
Thank you, and wow, that was a little bit of Angie Madsen's Cool Water, man. I just saw her playing out here in Los Angeles at this place called the Villains Tavern, and that was a mighty great show that she performed. It was extremely tight. In fact, one of the tightest shows that I've seen her perform. It's a neat little club on the east side of town. You should all check that out. Again, check out her newly released LP that has come out, just came out last summer. It's called Skeleton's Arm, and you can check her out directly at angiematson.com, angiematson.com. And I want to thank you all for coming to listen to us here at When Pigs Fly, because BS just certainly does it now, does it? Of course, I'm Andrew Fetter, and once again, I have a couple announcements to make. One is, of course, to my friends out there in Australia, mates. There is, of course, I've been several concerts running with some Quiet Riot, Come Hear the Noise, Warrant, and LA Guns, which I've been announcing for the last several weeks. That will be in Australia for New Zealand for their mental health tour 2011. And, of course, they're going to be in April and May, and they're going to be playing in Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, Adelaide, Perth, Canterbury, and, of course, in Auckland. Here are the places they're going to be at, because tickets are now on sale. And you can get to that information at intense-impact.com, intense-impact.com. And it's also Ticket Tech, which you can bring you to the direct sales. That's Ticket, and it was a T-E-Tech. .com. Anyway, they will be playing at in Melbourne on the 29th of April, Friday, at the Palace. Then on April 30th, Saturday, at the NU Bar in ACT. And on Monday, the 2nd of May, we'll be heading on to Auckland. And they were going to perform in Power Station, but that venue has been changed, and there will be further announcements. So that will be coming up on time. When that happens, I'll give you an update of that, or you can also get to that information, like I said, at intense-impact.com. There's consistent updates. They're also going to be playing at the HQ Complex in Adelaide on May 5th. That's on a Thursday. And on Friday, on May 6th, at the Metro at Perth. And then on Saturday, May 7th, at the Tivoli in Brisbane. And for you out there in Sydney, May 8th on Sunday. And those tickets actually in Sydney are moving really fast. So you better go get your tickets, because there is, looking at it, like there is going to be a sellout, particularly at First Coming heading into Sydney and at Melbourne. So you better all get your tickets as fast as you can, because they will. This is a very limited tour. Again, that's with Quiet Riot and Warrant and LA Guns. So you want to hear that metal, pedal to the metal. That's, you got to hear this shit, man. I'm telling you. And anyway, again, please check out intenseimpact.com, and that'll keep you up informed. It's our daily updates for those concerts. And that's to my friends out there in Australia, matey. Anyway, I have a very, very special guest. His name is Rick McLasnims, and he has been on my show in the past and dealing with the situations of what we've had in the past with climate change and solar problems and issues of dealing with the real facts of science. And I feel very, very honored to have him on my show. So once again, Rick, are you still there?
Hey, Andrew. Oh, thank you so much. I'm blushing. it's a pleasure. Always a pleasure to speak with you, Andrew.
Yeah, I know it's been a bit, and I know one time we spoke in specifics regarding the issues of climate
change. Yeah, we don't have time for that today.
Yeah.
There's just so much going on right now that it's impossible to keep up.
Yeah. There's so many multiple things. But I want everybody to know to check out, go to solarimg.org, and there's for his updated information regarding not just solar activity, but just science of, as in all perspectives affecting us all. But I want to ask you something else, because I know last time we talked a lot about the solar effects on our lovely planet. But I want to ask you, because I know, and people...
What you guys, planet are you on, buddy?
Well, I think I'm on... that's before they pick me up again, okay? No more probing, okay, again? Anyway, I was curious. I know you talked a little about electromagnetic systems and how the solar flares and all that stuff. And I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to get into that because that's like sort of rehashing stuff. But I want to get into the issues that it seems to be actually occurring on a daily basis on a huge increase. And that's, of course, the earthquake activity that's happening on our planet. I want to know what your opinion and what your, not just your opinion, but what your studies have found with activity and why is it this is occurring such an alarming rate for these days?
Well, nobody knows for sure.
I thought you did. Wait a second.
Well, some quakes, you know, I can tell you what caused them.
I thought you could... feel those earthquakes when they happen. They're an earthquake predictor. Now, go ahead.
No, man. I got a tinfoil hat that protects me from that.
They'll tell you when they pick you up.
Yeah, I hear that the food's great in the FEMA camps.
Yeah. Anyway, so tell me, what do you think this earthquake activity, why we have such an increase?
There was just an earthquake an hour ago. It looks like a 5.1 that occurred in on the border with Mexico and SoCal. And looking at the monitors right now, I see spots of quakes in Washington. I can see 10 or so in the 2 to 3 magnitude range, and then in the 2 to 3 magnitude range, it go all the way down from Montana to Arkansas. And then there's also some in Arca. There's a big gap in the middle, but if you go to the website solarimg.org and check artists, everybody can look for themselves. There's everything that people need there to see the sun and the earthquake monitors, and there's all sorts of graphs and charts and dials and buttons and doohickeys.
Well, let me ask you this, because I know, if everybody knows that they're regarding the place, when you're talking about the usually along the, so people are not aware of, and I'm born and raised in California, so I sort of lived through a lot of earthquakes.
Well, I'm really encouraging people to have a good, well-stocked emergency kit, because everybody should have one anyways. But especially now when we see that the earthquake, in the first 30 days of this year, we had 40% of the annual average of 7 magnitude quakes or higher. So that's a big number, and that's a pretty significant. And it also seems to happen at the same time the solar cycle increases. So I'm not saying every earthquake is solar induced or whatever, but some of them may be. And we're seeing the correlations in the monitor. We can't prove it yet, and it's very complicated. We don't know if it's the magnetic field or the protons or what's what. But some of these large quakes have correlating spikes in the geomagnetic field, and these can be monitored, and so we're seeing deviations of over 200 600 nanoteslas. That's a significant change in the energy. But go ahead.
Let me ask you this. The reason I was trying to get to is because I was, like I said, growing in California, especially in L.A., a lot of people who were born and raised there were aware of what they call the Ring of Fire. And we know that there's the plate shifts. Like, it's sort of weird is when there's an earthquake along the side toward Japan, for example, it's almost like a year later it strikes into the plate of the one that's running along the San Andreas or any of them running along the California. So there's a, which goes down to, all the way down to Chile from to Seattle to Alaska. That so that thing that shift has been happening. But what I, from my understanding, what's really bizarre, these are like expected. What's really bizarre is the shifts within the middle of the United States, which I, a long time ago, when the earthquake happened in 94, I remember there was disclosure and then it was suddenly hushed up, which I don't understand why, out of Caltech about there actually of two major areas that they feel there would be a serious earthquake. That would be in near the Mississippi or the Midwest or the Mississippi, because there's a fault line there that nobody ever really talked about. And underneath, actually, the city of New York, there's a major area there as well. So in your studies, when your stuff is coming out, which caught me, by the way, why I caught my eye on you is because you've hit on those things that have been popping up about these earthquakes that are hitting throughout the middle of the U.S., but as well as worldwide, were areas that have not had activity in thousands of years. So what would your explanation for this actual increase? I know you said something about the solar effects.
Was I don't know, and nobody knows for sure. And if somebody said that they knew for sure, I would seriously question them and be immediately suspicious, because these are, they're perplexing, but they're interesting. And some people kind of mistake my my enthusiasm as doomy gloom and whatnot, but I just think it's really cool to study the effects and postulate and whatnot, but I don't know for sure. Nobody knows for sure. The volcanoes are increasing. There's, you know, Japan, Russia, Australia got hit pretty hard with quakes. You know, there's another quake in Chile. There's been very deep quakes. A geophysicist at the United States Geological Survey said that that there's some sort of core event. So the only thing I can really plausibly think of is the magnetic connection events at poles sending charge into the core, heating it and causing some magma displacement and some shifting and some farting. It's like, you know, when we live in a cold climate, you when the water in the ground freezes and cools, it expands and contracts. That's why you get potholes and stuff. So this stuff probably works on bigger on bigger levels and whatnot too, but that's getting into some serious like plasma cosmology stuff, and I'm just a second year.
I know. Let me ask you, let me ask you this: is it more like could possibly more affecting on an astrophysical way, where because this is what I dealt with a nuclear physicist a little while back. Actually, an astrophysicist I talked with a while back, and they're saying that there's like almost like look at the Earth is like. And all its layers are like, imagine multi-layers of blankets of electromagnetic energy. And when these are moving around and shifting, they shift all organically all the activity on Earth and displacements of energy. So that's why he said that basically because we're Earth, it is sort of its alignment. And he says he doesn't want to sound like an astrologist, but it's sort of weird that it's happens to do where our planets are readjusting themselves. And there's electromagnetic situations that are affecting each other. And then there's the situation on the sun itself with its own electromagnetic activity, which affects directly with our entire solar system. And that was where they said that there's unusual activity, which is where I'm turning to what you're talking about. There's no one wants to predict because everybody's afraid that, you know, to throw out their presumptions. Because everybody will just somehow, you know, squint an eye and laugh at you or say something really bizarre. Like most scientists, if they squeal something without a proponent of actual evidence as opposed to theory, you know, people look at you as a fraud. And that's what I remember from through always scientists. Show me state in Missouri. So my question is like, you don't know the activity of the assumptions, but... things are correlating.
I know exactly what the government is doing, and that's buying a lot of guns and preparing national level exercises to, you know, the national level exercise 11. It simulates an event in the New Madrid seismic zone. It's a 3-day exercise, and it's local, state, and federal, and with overlapping and complex ways to waste our money, I guess. I don't know. But
so you're saying the government actually is aware of activity that's happening that you're saying that's increased?
Well, they are, absolutely, because quakes have been, people have been freaking out about quakes disappearing off the map, and it's just, there's been so many events, I guess, that are overlapping now, and so the computers are getting false positives, so they're being either deleted or modified or adjusted, and but, you know, this NLE scenario is, and I've been following the NLEs for a couple of years now, and they've all been fake bullshit, you know, nuclear, biological, chemical stuff that, you know, isn't really a threat. I mean, more people die smoking from terror, but, you know, this is the first plausible scenario, and FEMA was issuing an RFI, which is a request for information for MREs, which are meals ready to eat, and I found that very interesting, because they should be given box lunches. I don't know. I don't know why they list directly for the New Madrid seismic zone. It's just, unless it's part of the exercise, of course, but is all the earthquakes part of the exercise, too?
Well, the reason why I'm asking you, because I remember, it seems like every time there's a crisis this happens, all of a sudden, people go into this panic mode of preparation, especially governmental stuff. But in this case, it doesn't seem there has been really much of an earthquake since for a long time, of mass in the United States, particularly. But maybe because of the situation, the earthquake that happened in Haiti, there, you know, it becomes sort of a worrisome issue. But I want to get into another thing that. This relates to earthquake activity, and you just sort of mentioned a little bit of is the volcanic activity that's on the increase. My understanding is that St. Helens is now reactivating itself. Is that true?
I can't say. I'm not an expert, and I'm not qualified to make that statement but there has been earthquakes around Mount St. Helens. One of my crew posted it, and let's see, yeah. There was a St. Helens earthquake, and, well, look at the map for yourself, man. There's a lot of earthquakes on the map.
Yeah, but I'm saying is there a correlation? Because if you look back in the 80s when they had that massive, when basically they thought St. Helens was extinct and oops, which was dormant, oops, it's now active, oops.
It's like when you sneeze and you fart at the same time.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is this, because usually, if when there's a correlation between earthquake activity with volcano activity when there's a buildup. So, is there the same sort of correlation that your readings are showing?
I haven't been able to keep up and compare the data yet. So, you know, I see all the events that are continue to be increasing simultaneously, and it's going to take years to. We haven't even finished collecting data. We're not going to be finished collecting data for, like, another 4 years. But we can still get an idea of what's going on. And
4 years
it's harder
might
to put it into context right now, though, but give me a while.
4 years might be too late. I mean, I was in the U.K. when the volcano took off on its end in Iceland. So, you know, they were like, oops, oh, we didn't have the information yet. I'm there, too.
It's never too late for learning.
Yeah.
unless you're on scholarship and then the government cuts you off. I don't know, whatever. Like, but, you know, anyway.
Well, it is because, I saw it in sort of, so funny you say it, I watched this documentary that dealt with a volcano that erupted, destroyed in Italy during the Roman era. What's his name?
Well, there's been like great coming out of Yellowstone, and
Pompeii got wiped out, and it was a great documentary. It went into the detail how, and this guy who wrote it he lost his father, so because he wanted the father. Who was fascinated by the volcano, wanted to get closer, and then sent a rescue team to go in. He didn't realize all the things that happened during a volcano, and then he himself and his crew ended up getting killed. So yeah, they didn't realize when you get a boat that close, things are flying, and those pieces of rock are coming at you like somebody's shooting a shotgun down your throat. And
yeah, they can release like sulfur and methane and be very dangerous. That's like a bad idea.
Yeah, well, they got
go there.
Or the boat, before the gas got to them, the boats got wiped out by, you know, the fragments that were up in the air and that came down. So it was like a shotgun shooting down on these boats, you know. But they were
awesome.
Big. Yeah, it was interesting. But to get into the issue of Pompeii, where people were didn't even know what was happening until it happened. I mean, they didn't realize it. And the reason why I'm getting to this at is not to put all scare, because I hate to put the thoughts of fear in a lot of people, but the issue is about Yellowstone. I know you posted, you sent me along a while back, a few days ago, about the issue with Yellowstone. And I remember, God, about 10 years ago, it's 10 years ago, that Yellowstone was now understood to be, first thought, an extinct volcano. Has now, in the 90s, they lifted that extinct part and said, no, it's...
Yeah, I mean, I remember in school stories about, like, you know, volcanoes popping up in farmers' fields and stuff. So, you know, we know that these events can happen quick. You know, maybe it might have been a story, who knows, but, like, the evidence that exists shows some rapid changes sometimes. So that's just par for the course as far as the Earth's concerned. And this is just a little blip in a pretty big scenario. But, like, politically, you know, you wanted to discuss politically. You mentioned that the science has been so exceptionally politicized that it's completely useless now, because it's all about the corporations and the lobbyists and the special interest groups manipulating science for corporate greed and to funnel money to the big bankers and the middle managers, and it's pretty disgusting, actually.
Yeah, I want to get into that, but before I do, because I want to get into the politics of all that stuff, because that's actually a major issue. But let me ask you, getting back to Yellowstone, what's your feelings about Yellowstone, though?
It was pumping out gray smoke the other day. Freya caught that on the webcam. That's not normal. I don't know. And then there was another post, and they had security guards in the area, so I guess there was an eruption. I don't know. But those are common. And but there has been a lot of earthquake activity, and so... Yes,
but there's something significant about Yellowstone. Yellowstone was a volcano, but it's not just a volcano. It's considered a mega, not a little. It is a mega volcano. I mean, it is like a state literally underneath there of a volcano. That's how big Yellowstone is. I remember when they said,
and like, if Yellowstone goes, we lose NORAD.
No. If Yellowstone goes, the whole eastern seaboard is adios. Just from the fallout. They said the whole eastern side of the United States would be adios. That the cloud covering of just weather changes would destroy Europe.
Can we send like Alex Jones and Anderson Cooper there and have them hang out there? And if anything happens, we'll know that they're reporting on it, right?
No, this is not conspiracy. I remember this is back in the 90s when they were looking at the scale of what Yellowstone did thousands and thousands of years ago, when it did erupt, and if this would erupt into the same proportion that it did, I was based upon St. Helens, and I remember St. Helens had that cume, what would happen with the activity. Well, Yellowstone is literally, it's huge. It's like literally a state, man. And they were showing how if it blows its top, the eastern seaboard would be wiped out, not because of like flowing lava and stuff. It's the fallout, and basically it'll affect, first of all, the electromagnetic, your electricity. I mean, you go on and on, but you know, they're going to be under the dark for a hell of a long time. Let me put it that way, and the gases and things that will be underneath the eastern seaboard. And that fallout won't just out there, it'll go clear across the scales, clear across the Atlantic into, especially in the UK and into Europe. So
I've been really raping the earth. So, like, you know, we've been doing really horrible stuff like slant drilling or hydrofracking, and that's a process. Someone maybe probably aware of this, but they inject water, move water around down there so it cracks the rock so they can get at the oil. And then we're, like, you know, letting huge amounts of oil out of their areas and putting them into the ocean. So it could change weight balance. It could change a lot of things. And we don't really know the effects because the whole BP thing just disappeared.
Yeah, well, that's
yeah, we fixed it, and then I heard nothing about it anymore. And then the Coast Guard was, like, making sure nobody went around there, and they're saying the fish is okay to eat. Yeah,
well,
right.
That's like when we do, people don't realize when we do nuclear bombs, and we're doing all that testing and stuff out, we have no idea what that really has done. We think we only know the nuclear activity that it did in the fallout, but we don't know the layering effect of, because we know, like, 5% of understanding of nuclear physics and quantum physics is in the real terms. So we can't even know, you know, what the effects of that crap is. And you're talking drilling. I remember the Hopi used to say, "Don't." But every time you're fucking Mother Earth, Earth is going to fuck you back. So that's awesome. And I'm saying it that way, but they said it a lot nicer. I just put it my Andy's way. But it's like basically like what
I like said. A woman who can step up and take the reins too. You know what I mean?
But I mean it's yeah. But I mean it is. It's maybe it's God forbid that's not to put a fear thing or like you said a Alex Jones thing. But you know it's I can see people worrying if that was actually to happen and things would have changes. But getting into, I know we dealt with this before, and I know I want to get into a little bit of it. The climate change issues. It seems like, and this gets into the political side, which I want to get into. You had mentioned, with the scientists and how there was an askew for political reasons, like the bullshit trying to make it like, it was to. That there's a carbon influence on our climate only, or which is considered a fart in the wind, as I know astrophysicists said to me, that a lot of scientists have been pressured either through withdrawing, and this I know is a fact, either by telling them that they'll withdraw any funds or for their projects that they're working on or whatever things, their schooling or whatever, and are affected being narcissized within the community because scientists are affected in their own, can be narcissized. So there's been pressure to sort of squash the truth understandings of our planet, as you pointed out, in our science and within the climate change real issue. You know, people say climate change, oh, you don't believe there's climate change, and they'll say you don't believe that. And he says, no.
Well, anyone who doesn't believe in climate change just needs to go and step outside and see the oscillations that continue to increase in frequency.
But politics is, excuse me, Rick, but what they've done, though, you can say, I believe in climate change, but what they'll do is they'll make for politics, they jump on the thing that says, you don't believe in it. But we're saying, no, I believe in it, but I don't think it's really so much human related. Do you understand? There might be, there's more issues involved than just human influence on our planet than I think. I think there's more. I don't think.
We can make that worse. We make those natural. We don't make them better, that's for sure.
We don't aggravate things, but we're very like minuscule for what the things that we do, which I'm going to get into another issue with you. I definitely, which is regarding heart, but I want to get into the issues of the changes that you see. If you're, and this is also includes with the axis changing and all that stuff. What is your, does your site involve in get into the electromagnetic systems affecting both our climate, the earth, earthquakes?
Yeah, a bit. Well, Solar IMG isn't just like my site. It's a collective, and there's so many talented and amazing people who participate in the project. So not only do I come in with my perspective, but there's so many other people that have their own specialties and kind of are interested in the big picture who've really come together. And I got to give so much respect and love to everybody in the Derp crew, all the Solar IMG crew, and everybody out there who's supported me in this project and contributed so much and taught me so much and served as a great example and it's cool because that's what science is supposed to be about. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
So there's a lot posted. I'll bring you into the group, and you can check out the group Solar IMG on Facebook. But that's kind of an active. It's gotten so big. We're like trying to find a good way to communicate. And
so you have. I mean, there's a lot of basically
magnetic shifts, earthquakes. There's volcanoes. I mean, there's radio bursts. There's changes in the composition of the particles. The sun is going crazy. It's been flaring like nuts. There's been M-class flares. A lot of C-class flares. The X flare, and. You know, lots of radio interruptions. There's been communications interruptions in China. NOAA actually issued a big alert, but the prediction was off because they couldn't do the model runs in time. And unfortunately, with MSM, and you know, I did see a good story actually. It was it hit the wire, and. So, you know, there's some good journalism out there, but there's a lot of confusion, too. There we go. Yeah, it's from the French press agency, l'Agence France Presse, and they had predicted that it was an Earth-directed cloud because it sent three magnetic plasma clouds at us, and it also sent the flares. The flares shoot right away. You know, they travel at the speed or near the speed of light. So they affect her immediately in certain ways. That's why there's a four action. That's why these energies affect the you know biological organisms. They affect technology. They affect the weather. You know when these energies hit our planet, they seem to kind of stir things up a bit. You know it's
so. What are these flares?
Pardon me.
And I want to get into your solar IMG thing too. Now that you brought that up, but. What is your the solar? What are actually so? Because a lot of people go, well, okay, solar flares, man. Like, what the hell is that, dude? Now put down
well,
your
like,
joint.
A solar flare, like, think of a jet afterburner.
What is it?
A jet afterburner, and that would be a flare. But a coronal mass ejection would be like a flamethrower.
Okay, and that's coming from the sun and coming into the atmosphere of Earth and Earth itself.
The sun's constantly shooting off stuff, and
can you tell basically what's the makeup of the flare? If you is it like what is it like gamma radiation? Is it what is it exactly?
It creates cosmic rays or solar cosmic radiation and X-rays, electrons, protons, magnetic fields of different. Strength and orientation, temperature, there's plasma, neutrinos, and a lot of other things, and probably some things we can't even perceive or measure or detect. And so.
Doesn't Earth have some sort of. Almost like a blanket, sort of a.
Yeah, it's called the magnetosphere or the magnetosphere. It depends on where you're from, but. Basically, the solar wind charges the field. So the energies, you know, this is going to, you're going to check out thunderbolts.info for a little bit more on the electric nature of the universe and the magnetic nature of the universe. But so we're sensitive to all this stuff. Our habitat is sensitive to this stuff. And
so you're saying the flares
survive in a modern society are... affected by this stuff.
But this layer that you're talking about, the metosphere, or what's it called again? The metosphere?
The magnetosphere, or,
anyway.
Or the shields.
I heard there's actually, from what I was reading, that there have been holes that have been caused for, well, one has been caused by HARP, by humans.
That's bullshit. And... yeah, it's amazing. There's constant opening and closing and connecting of magnetic fields. Everything affects the magnetic fields. Everything has a magnetic field. Comets may have, we haven't measured them, but it seems like they might have some properties that can lead us to speculate that they have magnetic properties. But, you know, even Jupiter's magnetic field, like, can affect us. You know, when planets cross in certain orbits, it's funny you mentioned astrology, but there might actually be a mechanism for that, and it might fit in with the plasma cosmology model.
So that's basically what this astrophysicist was telling me, that the movements of all these planets directly affect our planet as far as the electromagnetic systems and therefore affect what happens on Earth itself, which then, of course, gets into our DNA and our physical habit ourselves, which affect us too, which sort of funny. So I'm not going to get into, but it gets into from where, you know, the shaman and spirituality emerging into science once again. But you just said HARPTA is not. Now I want you to clarify, because I've been in arguments with a lot of people and I was constantly questioning, because they said, well, you know, HARPTA is doing this to our climate and who knows the many. First of all, what do you know or understand of HARPTA? And what is the youth believe the truth behind what they can do and they can't do to our weather and earthquakes and everything else? Because people are always thinking the boogeyman has been doing this to us.
Yeah, well, HARPTA is actually, it's pretty cool. It's a pretty neat thing. And I think, unfortunately, due to ignorance about how HARPTA works and stuff, people kind of latch on to conspiracy theories. But, you know, it is a military operation. It's over-the-horizon radar system. It has missile defense applications. It can be used, basically what they do is they use large antennas to send huge amounts of energy into the ionosphere and heat it. And it creates a lens or a mirroring effect. So they can take energy and they can zap different places and make a whole bunch of mirrors in the sky that they can bounce their electronic signals off of. So that's why it's so super secret, because it's military and it's classified. And it's also done with, they also do scientific testing and experiments on the ionosphere. So
you're saying the HARPTA is not really cutting holes or doing malicious stuff, like trying to create...
I don't know. You know, I don't know enough about it. It's classified. And so, you know, there's a lot of documentation on HARPTA. Just type it in and look and read it. And the litmus test for me is, has the person making the HARPTA accusations had any typos, misspelled any obvious words, or, you know what I mean? Because that's a good litmus test. but people don't trust the government, and that's a clear sign of that. And well, they'd believe that the government would be so malicious to you know, use mind control to make earthquakes. But if you think about the whole HARPTA creating an earthquake in Arkansas and HARPTA making an earthquake in Haiti, it's just ridiculous. I mean, Arkansas has the entire FEMA / Walmart / integrated corporal government agency there. All their distribution systems are there, and they have too many precious metals that are completely important to national security. So there's no strategic value in creating an earthquake in Arkansas or in Haiti or anything. But the only way it could be possible to create an earthquake is if, like, you know, they're messing with the ionosphere, making a lens, and then some crazy burst that nobody knew about comes and goes through and, like, gets magnified like an ant when you're frying an ant, you know what I mean?
What about doing the reverse? Because I've heard a study where they're trying to stimulate an earthquake by doing, I can't remember how they did it, there something was demonstrating, with some piercing energy focal to one particular point within the earth on an area where there is an active fault line, but sort of like acting as a stimulant or, like in medical terms, something to, aggravate the situation so that, okay, it won't happen for another few years or be slow movement. We're going to cause it to go kaboom and activate, you know, right then and there capriciously.
Well, the powers that be and the corporate owners, they don't mind losing a few tax cattle or sheep here and there, but they don't want to lose the whole farm. You know what I mean?
Right. But I'm saying, would you say there's a possibility of them having the ability to create and manifest an earthquake?
They probably could, but, like, I don't think they're doing it at all. Like, all this shit's probably completely explainable, but this, the ingenuity of humans to create machines of death and it never ceases to amaze me, but we still can't explain something as simple as the full moon effect, which is well documented and accepted amongst, health professionals and people, police officers, firefighters, and so, you know, yeah, they can do some pretty crazy stuff. I mean, look at the Manhattan Project. Look at how many nuke detonations that they've had. Look at the crazy stuff that they have in space. You know, look, how long was it until we knew about the F-117A? How long?
Ten years?
And so, you know, we can pour billions and billions and billions into war and come up with some of the most incredible technology. The education system isn't really up to par. So our priorities are fucked, and we suck.
So let me ask you this. The other one I was going to ask you is, and I know I forgot to ask you, I want to get into a little bit of it, was the Gulf spill, and how that would generate, because I know that would change, drastically change, there's the movement current of the water that would, you know, how it rotates from the current from the north into the Gulf.
The thermohaline circulation.
Yeah. And it's, I'm saying very good way, easy way. The non-technical way of saying it, but for those out there who don't know what that is, but there's certain water flows that have to consistently occur through from the Gulf area to go up north so that we do not have go into a ice age. And when that area is circumvented, then the warm water doesn't move around in the proper proportion up to the north, to the North Pole. And if that doesn't occur in the right sequence, then it can activate a mini ice age. And this did occur during the time of the revolutionary times in the late 1700s, I believe.
In fact, historically, ice ages are the norm. And warm periods like the one we've been living in for the past little while since, you know, the Jesus guy and stuff and a couple of thousand years before him. It's just hearsay, but whatever. Not going there.
But the ice ages are usually very common because the Earth is constantly shifting its systems and activity, and you know it's like an organism. It grows, it changes. It's always changed, basically. So there's always going to be ice age, and you know it's nothing new. But let me ask you this because I forgot to ask you this, and I know there's something I've forgotten, and it popped my mind now. Because you talked about the solar flares and all this stuff, activity hitting. And I remember seeing a study, and this was on NASA report. And, you know, there's conspiracies behind it. They're not doing anything about it, but they're supposedly, they know for a fact that there's a pulse that's going to hit the world, in fact, I believe in 2012, that's supposed to, normally it happened, I think it was over 100 years ago or something like that. Or more than 100 years when we didn't really use any, you know, electrical. We didn't really have electricity. We didn't have cell phones, of course. And that when if this were to hit, it would cause almost like an EM, electromagnetic downfall, and that would basically wipe out.
An EMP, yeah. Unfortunately, looking like 2012 is going to be a big false flag.
So that's not, you don't see that really happening, or because they said the U.S. isn't. You know, and this is like the Alex Jones type, which I think now more and more I hear is more full of shit, personally. But they're saying that there's more activity.
But he's seen the documents.
Yeah, right. Anyway, there's like there's a lot of hyperbole stuff. So anyway, the flares that's supposed to. This is actually NASA with on full understanding that's supposed to hit. In this atmosphere, but the government hasn't prepared, and there's really very simple things to prepare from this pulse that hit Earth at that time that would not cause a downfall or affect our cell phones and the satellites and, you know, everybody's precious little internet. I mean, it's just
Superman?
by grounding the areas, basically.
It's called a Faraday cage, and if you don't have a Faraday cage, you know, even if you want, you can build a Faraday cage to protect your electronics from electromagnetic pulses. It's as simple as getting a lot of chicken wire and making a nice cage and then grounding it. It's that simple. If you don't, you know, in a pinch, if you hear about something like crazy in the news, like, what are, you know, CNN breaking news, and like, because they are taking over the airwaves with the Obama boxes. And and that's kind of creepy. But, you know, they switched over to digital television and other stuff. So they're doing something, and so they just won't talk about it. And every government person I speak with is very antsy and is very reluctant, from academics to people who are in professional capacities at organizations such as NASA and other places. But, yeah.
So you're saying that I'm sort of confused. So the government is doing something about this, or not doing something about this,
that's the whole thing. Like I said, the previous national level exercise seemed to be fake terror style scenarios, and you know, stuff that was just completely unrealistic because this whole terror threat was manufactured. And
yeah, but that could be also a red herring too. That could be just for political deception too, to create fear of people and something to talk
when
about.
When I speak to the frontline people who are watching the monitors and the USGS, and they aren't even aware of this exercise when it's already been in planning and setup stages for months and months and months and years, that's not a good sign. And there's no interagency cooperation. Communication issues are very bad. They can't communicate at all because, I don't know. And it's not just with me. I mean, it's with other people that work with them too. And so I'm trying my best to encourage people to connect on a personal level, professionals from all different professions, from the nurses and the paramedics and the doctors and anybody who will be professionally affected by some of these energies, because it appears like they affect a lot of professions, like from pilot to you know, power line workers and emergency response crews, the military, et cetera, everybody. Because
so
even though
but
they
what,
won't
but
spend the money
group,
to
but from your
but
group
they
that's
won't spend the money
yeah.
Let me I gotta finish it.
Sorry,
they
but
spend
I know
the money
I
to find
to,
out yeah. about the moon factor, but
yeah, yeah.
they'll spend all this money on war and death. It makes me really question their priorities, and unfortunately, they seem to be completely unwilling or unable to look at the real issues rationally, logically, or with any sort of critical thinking skills. And there's a couple people who do really good work. Like, there's a lot of people who do really good work, but unfortunately, they're limited by the organizations and the bureaucracies of the people who, or all the organizations that are entrusted to kind of watch this stuff. And so,
So you're talking about just the political nature of all the politicizing of science, and it's all organizations by the people who are in power to limit for their own political and economical gains, and therefore restricting information and also resources to scientists to really come together and actually working together. And basically what your model of the solar IMG is to bring science to the people, as opposed to have a filter before it's been going on, a filter of information going to the people. So let me ask you before I want to get in, because I want to get into because you're sort of jumping where I was heading. That's why I was cutting you off. And I apologize for that. I wanted to get into your organization, but there was one last thing, because we're almost at the top of the hour. I want to ask you your feelings and or studies, or if you have anything about it, the water changes on Earth. Let me give you a reason why, because there was a model done. This was done back, I think it was late 1980s when I first saw it, of what the Earth was heading towards, specifically to the United States. And it said how the water table of the water was actually rising. And this is caused because of the so-called climate, because of the climate change and the melting of our ice or whatever. But the water table was naturally rising. And that literally, and I hate to say that to the people living in Florida, but you're going to be underneath the water. They also said that according to these models, it was showing Hawaii going underwater in many places. They showed how literally the Mississippi, this has been going on, the Midwest.
I can't hear anything. Right. Completely scrambled.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was saying that the water is rising very high on Earth, and this is affecting many areas that is happening. It's in particular, Anyway, there was a rise of water table, which is going to affect like Florida going underneath, the Mississippi opening up water tables, where it's literally opening up so far wide. It's literally not just a river. It's like separating the whole U.S., creating a whole split. And this model was shown in late 1980s, and they purported to happen, actually, sort of weird. They said it was to start happening within 2020-30, but now it seems like it's actually moving faster toward that. What do you have any understandings of that model, or what's your idea of the water tables on Earth? Hello? 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 Wow. I think I just lost Rick. Wow. I think I just lost my guest here. We must have... some electromagnetic energy must have hit our Skype or something here. I was talking to myself, asking the questions. Hopefully we'll have them back on soon and we'll continue on. But I do want those out there who are listening who do hear me, hopefully, to do check out his site at solarimg.org. That's SolarImg.org. And it is a collective of people from around the world to look into the situations. Wow. I just got notice that we can't get them back. There is a bad connection. Wow. This really sucks. wow. Oh, man. That really, really bad. I apologize, everyone, for listening. I guess that's the way a cookie crumbles when talking about energy, huh? And solar stuff. And I don't even know if you guys hear me. So, that's pretty bizarre. I have to say, I just got noticed by my producer that we cannot reconnect with our guest. Unfortunately, something has happened with our connection with him. They're trying to reconnect him, and unfortunately, we can't. And I apologize for that. We're getting into this heavy conversation. We were jumping from target to target because there are many things that we were talking about overlap. In particular with climate change, electromagnetic. I was glad he talked about HAARP a little bit. He questioned about things about HAARP. It is secretive, and of course military and all that, but the propensity of their actual ability to really massively affect our Earth is, like he said, which I felt it myself, is very minuscule, but they can do certain minuscule things. Can induce micro earthquakes, but not major earthquakes. They can produce micro areas of climate, not massive climate changes. It's too huge. That would be like someone in a waterway in the ocean, and you have a big old pool, and you're swinging. Your boat is causing a wave. Well, your wave, that little wave that you're making, how much energy can you really cause in the mass amount of ocean? How much can a human capacity could really, really change in the massive amount of energy? We've done nuclear bombs in the ocean, and how much energy that is driven from a nuclear power from atomic bomb, how much that has driven in the forest around the water systems is very minuscule. So think of how much energy would be needed to really drastically change our electromagnetic systems in our atmosphere and everything else. My point is, I think a lot of hyperbole, a lot of exaggerations. I mean, I agree that there is definitely situations of those who are in power. Some people call them Illuminati or whatever. I do believe those are cause and effect, but they are minus, very small. I also believe that there's also the same, there's powers that want to fabricate and exaggerate the human cause on many sides of the coin, of human cause of climate change. Climate change is happening. It is a consistent thing that always happens. All things do change. I want people to understand that these things change is part of the changing of our Earth. It has been going on for thousands and thousands of years. It's been part of the history. Everything changes. Our electromagnetic systems are changing. This is why these things are actually affecting each other, ourselves. This is why I look on things how we are all connected. We're all part of the same system. This is why I look at, when I look at people for myself, we're not separated. We're all of the same, we're all on the same boat. We're all connected to the Earth. And how we react to Earth is how it reacts to us. So just think about your emotions and your thoughts are also energy. They, in a way, do affect our Earth. But the Earth in itself we can also affect. It's like an organism. We are, in fact, like a whole wide organism. So think of that. Imagine Earth, us, we are in this living body. Think about that. So think about how humanity is part of this Earth. Now, part of the Earth, when we have, we're acting as a humanity, we're acting sort of like a bunch of cancer cells by thinking we're divided and separate from Earth and separate from each other. And this is the mentality. So the same effect, when we think of that, of separation, we constantly compartmentalize even our sciences with in our own technology, even with our understandings of our Earth. We compartmentalize of what energy system. Here again, my guest that I did have on expressed talking about how all these things are interrelated, how the climate change is interconnected, how it's, whether it's earthquakes or volcano activity, and we really, really, really don't know much about of anything of it, the roots and causes and of everything, because then we really, really only understand maybe 5% of our universe, because we don't know things like dark energy or dark matter. We don't know. We're just beginning to learn and understand that there's actually multi-dimensionals in our universe. And the problem is, and this is just the big, big problem, is from the very root of everything. And I've said this multiple times. I put this on posts. I express it on things from Facebook to my shows. People need to understand and change their perspective, because their illusional perspective of things are finite, illogical, and not the reality. Things are infinite. Things need to be looked at as an infinite logic. This is substantiated by how the relativities theories of Einstein, the quantum theories, as regards to the collapse of the understandings when you look at the wave functions and the collapse of that, our observer effect. There are so many. We keep on consistently put things in little categories. You know what? There's an area, I wrote something a while back, and actually I posted it on my site, and I think I'm going to read it off to you. People have been really asking me, and it's been being passed around, and I know you haven't heard it, so I think it sort of pertains to today in this show, and I didn't really think of it until now, and unfortunately I lost my guest. But I do want you to go to check out his site. And Rick goes by McGlasnum. But go look at solarimg.org. And I want you to go look at that information. Now, there's this thing I wrote. I posted it on my Facebook. And, you know, and when I say things, I just put them out there. Not for me. Any information, I stand back. This is not me. Like I said, this is me. I'm just the vessel. Whatever information I say, or even on the show, I always step back. I believe when it leaves my lips or from my scribe, it's no longer mine. It never was mine in the first place. It's just passing, you know, almost the conductor, just like the conduit of information. But here's what I wrote. The answer has been, but are we listening? We have been living from generation to generation under the illusion and assumption that we are separated. We have been living under the illusion and assumption as if Earth is separated from us. We have been living under the illusion and assumption that we are separated from the universe. We have been living under the illusion and assumption that we are separated from nature. We have been living under the illusion and assumption that we are separated from the God, Allah, the Creator, or whatever name is used with a personification of some form of a deity, as opposed to the reality, the infinite reality, that the Creator and creation are one and the same, with its infinite understandings that there is nothing but an infinite aspect to everything. We have been living under the illusion and assumption that we are somehow separated, that the soul is separated from the mind, from the heart, and from each other. We have been living under the illusion and assumption that we have to compartmentalize all concepts and understandings into some sort of holes on a pegboard and strive to place names of ideas and concepts rather than understanding that making these infinite concepts into something of the finite is in itself an illusion. This is our problem, by the way, of science, and why we can't get past the 5%, by the way. Anyway, we have been living under the illusion and assumption that we are separated from one another. Like cancer cells, we have been living under the illusion and assumption that we are separated and divided. Yet, hear me now, the very answer to our problems, to our present conditions and understandings, have always been there to utilize. But the question remains, to humanity, to you, everyone listening, are we listening? We have always been given a choice. The choice, by the way, not to choose, is a choice. Again, are we listening? The universe and Earth has always been telling us how to fix our present problems, our present conditions. But again, are we listening? Some assume by placing band-aids of charity and goodwill will help, indeed help matters. But will these band-aids cure the cancer? We have always had the opportunity to remedy, but we are listening to proceed with the remedy. It is not them that have caused our present conditions. It is always and had always been us. So don't blame them. It's not them. It's us. Them are part of us. So no more blame game, because it's always the same blame game. And no, we are not of the new order. And frankly, there will never be one. It never was. It never could. We have, though, always been one world, one consciousness, one universe, and one love. All we really have to do is simply listen. And that's what I actually posted a couple of days ago as a note, and then it's been being passed around from passed around. So I think that was pertinent to my show today with Rick. And unfortunately, we lost him. You know, sort of funny how that situation happens when we're getting this heavy discussion. I wanted him to get into what his foundation is of solar IMG. It is basically a group of people from around the world who are involved with science, who are trying to collaborate and bring in the true science information, so that anybody, you, me, anybody on the internet can actually access. So it's not privy to scientists that are sitting in university who are told what they're allowed to disclose. So there's no filters. It's purely transparent of science. It has a setup so that you yourself can access, you yourself can disclose, you yourself can look at on a continual basis. What's amazing about this is his site, by the way, it correlates to the actual activity on Earth, which is amazing. It's like you're a doctor, and now you have a heart monitor on Earth. You have an EKG on Earth. You can look at its pulse. You can check its blood every now and then. And even on that level. So you know what Earth is actually happening. You may not know, we know why the causes and effects are, but we have a daily effect. And some causes and effects are consistently being brought up within his site. We do make jokes and pun about certain things about it, but science is meant to have fun, even though it often is looked at something nerdy, uncool maybe to some people. But science is what affects us. And it is ignorant to look away. Now, ignorance, when, by the way, I use that word, is not something to down put somebody down or put anybody down. But ignorance literally means to ignore. So it's like ignoring the facts. If you ignore any things, you are not becoming, like I said in my past show, become a truly moving toward the direction of becoming more awakened of your situation, or more correctly, aware. Now, I've said my piece here and everything. Again, I apologize for us being cut off from Rick. I reiterate, check him out at solarimg.org. You got to check it out. Look at his information. He is very brief in what he does, and not just him. It's not his site. It's, like I said, a collective of many people. And you'll be amazed. Just do it. Check it out. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. Just free information, what it's all about. And with that, I want to thank you all out there for listening. I want to wish you all a marvelous weekend. God bless you all. And for my friends out there in Australia, do check out intense-impact.com and for the Mental Health Tour of 2011 coming to your beautiful country, as well as also to my friends in New Zealand. We'll give you an update to the actual venue in Auckland because it has been changed from Power Station, I believe. It will be on the same date but a different venue. And again, thank you. God bless you. And have a blessed weekend. Thank you.